I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to another special episode of No Small Roles, where we're knee-high in a swamp and our dead exes are screaming at us. I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and whilst Jasper has been pulled away by sentient vines, we're hoping that our other guest doesn't meet the same fate. It's Jeremy Cobb!
Hey!
Hello!
Now, Jeremy, are you ready to face your past?
No, but it seems as though I don't have any choice in the matter, as my past has hunted me down and confronted me with a small army.
I mean, if it's going to come for you, this is the way you'd want it to happen, right?
At least it's dramatic.
I feel like that needs to be a tattoo.
At least it's dramatic. Well, as we prepare ourselves, let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
You'll have your character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative.
Brandish your blade. Fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
So, as the tavern keeper Aeneas rose as a spore spawn, Dwayne and Tharnak acted swiftly, stabbing him with a heated dagger and then banishing him to another plane. The issue quickly dealt with, Judge investigated the vines that the red flower had appeared on, and with Dwayne's universal speech, they learned that the rotweed had originated from a crack caused by an elf. Judge and Tharnak spoke with their contact Bartosz, who directed them towards Moss Hollow, mentioning that a research team of elves had headed out that way a few weeks earlier. His assistant, Ricky, was sent to guide you further out. As you all left Palidosa, Valerie and her crew arrived, still hunting their dragon quarry. Whilst their search was fruitless, a mysterious blonde halfling, Arthur, appeared and offered to help. Resting on their journey, Dwayne shared his past with his new companions, and as they continued on, a yelp from Tharnak alerted a nearby spore-spawn giant crocodile to their presence. Vines launched out, dragging Tharnak away. Then Valerie and her crew came rushing in, and as the crocodile ended poor Ricky's life, Judge managed to deliver a fatal blow. Faced with his ex-husband, however, Dwayne spoke up, only for Arthur's anguished scream to silence the wilderness around them. So that's where we pick it up. Arthur is stood on the back of this dead fungal bark-like crocodile staring at you. His pained scream silenced everybody and everything around you. and he just stares at you with those beautiful blue eyes. And he just repeats himself in the silence. Why did you leave me?
Ooh, can I roll a wisdom check for Dwayne in this moment?
Absolutely.
Okay. Dwayne stares into the beautiful blue eyes of his husband. He looks at the rather frightening people that have accompanied his husband here. He looks at the corpse of the dead fungal crocodile, as well as his ally, the judge, and wonders briefly about the fate of his other ally. Looks around, realizes he's spent so many spells. He's had just the worst possible day. And as he stands there, knees knocking, he casts Dimension Door and disappears, teleports 500 feet away, and then he just takes off, running through.
Damn you, you bastard, where are you going?
I just straight disappear.
Damn you!
Amazing.
Tarnak!
Wait, no, come back!
What the hell is happening?
You're there!
What the fuck, who are you? What do you want?
I want the dragon!
What dragon? There's no dragon here! It's a damn crocodile!
I thought that was the dragon! But he's run off!
Well, it's dead! I killed it!
I need the
dragon's
dragon.
Dead! My friend is underwater! Help me search
out
for
you! Where did he go? Damn it.
Why are you shouting at me? My friend is underwater!
Judge just dives beneath the swamp to try and find Tarnak.
Is Tarnak a dragon? Do we see where Dwayne's gone?
You two don't. You can see Arthur just kind of like his shoulders slump slightly. Deep sigh. And then he like just slightly turns in one direction and starts walking into the bushes. Dwayne, with Dimension Door, if you don't necessarily see where you're going, are there any drawbacks?
It just says you can describe the place by staying mm-hmm. distance and direction. You can bring along objects or bring along one willing creature. But if I teleport into a space already occupied by an object or a creature, you and any creature traveling with you each take 4d6 force damage, and the spell fails to teleport you.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you haven't... The spell has worked, but you find yourself slightly on the edge of more of like a rocky patch, less swampy, the area that you've found yourself in now. And as soon as you land there, it crumbles underneath you. Can you make a quick dexterity saving throw, please?
Oh, no. Okay, that's a 23.
Whew. 23. Oh, no, it's all right. So, the rocks give way beneath you, and you kind of stumble back a little bit and watch them as they sort of tumble down. The area, though, as you sort of fall back, you realize that the bushes and the vines are even more overgrown here. Similar kind of, you can tell it's the same rot weed that's sort of been expanding everywhere. So there is some comfort that you're like, well, I can talk to this thing at least. But at the same time, there's also the fear that any one of these plants surrounding you could turn on you at any point. And yeah, so you stumble back like into a bush, right yourself, and just take a very quick breath. What are you doing?
Do I see no way forward?
So where you've landed, you can see that the ground kind of goes down into a fairly shallow ravine. Otherwise, it's beating your way through bushes in any direction.
I think at the moment, and probably for a minute or two, Dwayne has panicked.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Dwayne fully losing his cool and just fleeing. That scream and the amount of pain that was contained in it, I think it's like when a sound resonates like a frequency with like an object, like a metal object, so you hear mm-hmm. the object start ringing. I think that mm-hmm. scream that Art let out resonated with Dwayne and like Dwayne's heart, and Dwayne's heart was ringing with that same sound, and he just fully panicked. I think Dwayne is just running, probably stumbles down the ravine and is just like crawling all fours, getting up, slipping, just trying desperately to get away until for probably a couple minutes until like he would probably collapse just out of breath because of his panic. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it would occur to him, this doesn't change anything. Art is still coming. And not only that, he starts to, like, realize, like, oh, wait, I had people. I befriended people. I had... Oh no, I've done it again. And he's sitting there like, why do I keep doing this to myself? I think that's what Dwayne, I think he's sitting there just like, Fabuloso, you've really done it this time. Why? Why every time? You just, God damn, he just starts punching the mud next to him. Mm-hmm. And probably quietly sobbing into his hand for a minute or two.
Yeah, feeling all of the emotions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is still quite quiet around you. So as you've sort of fallen into this ravine and sort of stumbled along and sort of sat down and you're having this moment, it's like your own words are slightly echoing, and that's really the only thing that you can hear at the moment. There's a brief breeze that sort of wafts down through the bushes into this part of the marshland, but There's still no sounds of any other thing, so you can only hear your own words, your own tears, your own pain sort of echoing around you, which is not making it any better, I'm sure.
Mm.
How long do you stay there for?
I think, let me talk through this, because I'm not sure. I think Dwayne's one of those, like, why? Every time, how long can I keep running? Like, Art, why won't you... You can't understand. I did it for a reason. I couldn't have stayed. I couldn't have been with... First, I... Like, he can't even finish a sentence. It's like every single thought is like, oh, why can't you understand why I had to do what I did? Why can't you just leave me alone and like, let me live my life? Why can't you just pass on? First, I'm losing all these other people. I just lost Gwendolyn again. I got Gwendolyn back and lost her again. I made new friends, lost them. And I think he finally would... I think he'd start looking around like he always does, his instinct for another, the next thing to pursue, the next, like, I think he's reminded of, like, the Vine situation. He's like, I can distract myself with this. Mm-hmm. I can shove my pain away and shove this failure away and move on and grab onto this instead. And I think he'd start looking around for some of the vines again to see if he can maybe get to the bottom of this at least.
Yeah. And whilst they haven't fallen that far into the ravine, it's really not that hard to just like climb out a little bit and find more of them. They're scattered everywhere throughout this space. So yeah, very easy. You find a couple of like gnarled that are like winding their way. Even as you're sat watching them, you can see them growing and expanding and pushing into the wet mud and trying to wrap around the drier rocks and like just expanding to every inch, like the worst kind of weed. Other plants are getting suffocated as they're being like sort of tightened and sort of dragged and pushed out of the way, all in a very slow, creepy, menacing way at the top of this ravine.
Can I follow the path of the vines to try and see where they lead?
Yeah, absolutely. Make a survival check to see if you can... Since they're growing in every direction.
Okay. That's a natural 20, so that's a 23.
Oh, that's beautiful. In which case, what I will say is, as you sort of make the decision to focus on the vine situation, focus on the rotweed, you sort of half touch one to figure out like where it's going. And as you start following it along, you realize that they are parting ever so slightly where you walk. And then further ahead of you, as you're sort of following the thicker vines, they're even, the bushes themselves seem to be moving out of the way and showing you a path toward their origin.
I'm going to follow it.
So you start pushing your way through the foliage, and it's not long, maybe another sort of 10-15 minutes of walking, when you come to a moss-covered opening. The area has become a little bit rockier, a little bit drier, less marshy, and you've wound your way down into another sort of small valley. And there is this The rocks are covered in moss, and there is an opening to what you can assume is a cave. And all of the rotweed has completely moved out of the way to show you the way inside.
I think a part of Dwayne's subconscious says, "This feels like an apt metaphor," and descends into the clearly accursed cave.
Clearly. So yeah, as you head inside, first of all, it is very dark. I mean, it's nighttime anyway. It's probably sort of 3 o'clock in the morning by this point. But with the sort of the vines and the plants moving out of the way, you're not bumping into too many rocky walls, luckily. Every time you do bump into something, it's always covered in leaves. So it's a softer, mossier space. The further you head in, though, sort of the narrower this walkway becomes, until suddenly it opens up into an antechamber with sort of large pillars separating it from a wider room beyond. Again, all completely shadowed and in darkness. But in this antechamber, what does catch your attention is a glowing magical dome in the center of it. The plants have completely overgrown this entire space as well. And you can see that they've kind of like half wrapped themselves around this translucent dome. And whilst you can't see directly inside, you do see a shape of a person moving about.
I'd like to say, hello there?
Hello? Is someone out there?
Yes. Hello. My name is Dwayne Fabulosa. I've come to help you.
You have the plants out there. They're not trying to kill you.
Well, they tried earlier. Believe me. But we seem to be on better terms these days.
Right. So you're here to help me. Okay. Well, I can't drop this dome right now, because if I do, then they will get me. But I can let you in. So make sure your hands are up and you're not trying any funny business, because I will shoot you with fire. So I will shoot you. So make sure that you're not trying any funny business, and you can come in here and I will talk to you. Okay. So I'm letting you in now. Okay.
Right. Here I come. I think Dwayne is going to try and do a quick half-hearted flourish with prestidigitation to try and like clean off his hands and mustache and everything to try and make himself look a little bit more presentable, maybe his boots, but I imagine it's kind of like a really half-baked job.
Yeah.
And so it's very, he just has very patchy dirt and mud as he like steps forward with his little hands in the air.
So as you enter this hut, you are presented with a elf with kind of greenish skin, messy gray and brown hair kind of piled up on top of her head. This hut does not smell good. It does seem like she has been in it for quite a while. She looks pretty rough. She looks haggard and stressed. She's wearing kind of like khaki, shirt and shorts and practical boots and socks. But yeah, she looks just very, very stressed and does not smell good.
I think Dwayne, as he steps forward, is going to try and like kind of subtly cast prestidigitation to clean as much of this room as possible and just emit positive odors. I think there's someone, as he steps in, he's kind of like, hello. Hello. Oh, it's very nice to meet you. Sorry, what's your name?
I am Professor Fid, Triffany Fid, but you can call me Triff or Triffany or Professor Fid. I don't care, actually. I really don't care.
Yes.
I care about fixing the situation outside right now. Tell me what's it like out there? How bad is it getting?
Oh, it's, it's really smelly. Excuse me, I need to wipe my eyes.
watering.
I've been in here for a week, okay? Oh. I have done my very best. I tried burying it, but, you know, it's hard, okay?
I hope it's not too hard, or else you're really in trouble.
I mean, yeah.
Dwayne's going to say yes.
Yes, you said Triff or Professor is what you prefer?
Yeah, just whatever you want to call me. Triff is fine, yeah.
Okay. Well, Triff, situation's rather dire, I'm afraid.
Oh, God.
The vines have spread into the nearby towns, throughout the forest. They seem to be choking the life out of the forest. They even spread into the town, into a tavern, and unfortunately colonized one of the people inside of the tavern, who became a vicious, terrifying fungal monster. We had to burn the whole building down.
Oh, that's awful. And fascinating. I wish I'd been able to watch that happen at the time, just to be able to document it and see how. But obviously, it's terrible. It's terrible. But oh my goodness, I didn't realize that such a thing could occur. Very interesting. Right. So, you'd say it's definitely bad out there, then?
Yes, defo.
Defo. Okay. All right. Now, I may have something to do with the origin of this phenomenon. Myself and my team were here, alas, and rather inconveniently, my team were devoured and repurposed by the plants. I was able to just about get away, but realizing I wasn't going to be able to outrun all this rotweed and vines, I decided to set up this hut. I've been just recasting and recasting every 8 hours.
Right.
Hence I'm
Triff's tiny hut.
Yes, indeed. My tiny hut.
Yes.
It's very tiny. Just like you. You're very small. I'm not good with people. So, I have been working whilst I've been in here. We discovered a natural source of energy, something that we decided to track down. Seems to be some sort of magical rock formation, a henge, if you will.
I will, yes.
You will. Great. You're with me. Fantastic. I tried to dumb it down for people who aren't of my understanding and learning, as you see, I imagine you're some sort of musical person from looking at you.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. So just let me know if you can, like, keep up. I'm trying to, you know, keep it nice and understandable for you.
You're doing
but
wonderful.
What happened? Thank you. Now, what happened was we decided to do some experiments on this natural energy. I'm personally particularly interested in plants. It's kind of a hobby of mine as much as my academic research. And we've been working on how that they communicate with each other. You know, plants are really complex things, more complex than people and much more tolerable, in my opinion. We decided to use the energy from this henge to enhance their communication. We wanted to see if we could learn how to understand them easier. However, one of the stones got damaged and formed a crack, allowing the internal magic to rupture through and rapidly expand the plant that we were working on. That's when it consumed my team.
Oh, was that your crack?
Here we go. Here we go. Well remembered.
I've been hearing so much about this crack, and I've found the source.
Yes, you found the sauce and my crack.
Yes, your crack consumed the rest of your team.
Yes. I suppose that is one way that we could, put it. It was a mighty, mighty crack. But I think it's been gaping for far too long now, and time to.
Oh God!
Yes, time to close up shop, so to speak. Yes, sort of. It needs to be. It should be more of an exit only rather than a situation. Right. Yes, I'm right with you. Yes, thank you for explaining. I think Dwayne starts to look around. I might be able to help. I hope I can help.
I hope you can help.
Yes. I do have an ability that would allow me to speak with the plants. However, unfortunately, I've already used it for today. Is your situation urgent?
Well, I mean, you've told me what the situation is like outside. It seems that it's just expanding and expanding, and it could get a lot worse if we don't cut it off at the crack, so to speak. So, yes.
Pinch it off, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. There we go. That's a great terminology you've got there. Wow, there's possibly a wizard within you, maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
There has been.
I imagine...
Sorry, I'm out of control right now. I'm sorry.
Do you know what? So am I. Look, I have been able to, whilst I've been in here, start to work out a ritual that I think is going to allow me to cut off this, snip it off this crack.
Yes,
Close it up, you know. So I think it's going to work, but it is going to take a lot of magic, a lot of my personal resources, and I am going to need to be defended from the rest of this rotweed while I do this. I potentially need some more magical resources if you've got those sorts of talents about you, but I don't think the two of us are going to be able to do this. Do you have any friends, perhaps?
I've certainly had friends.
Well done.
Yes, I
think Dwayne looks down and says,
I'm afraid I've come alone.
Ah. Okay.
I do have access to magics, although I have rather depleted myself. Dwayne just looks up and says, it's been a long night. A very, very long night. I'm sorry. Triff, it's not fair for me to be dumping all this on you. I had some companions, you see. I was trying to bring other people with me, and we fell afoul of some of the funguses, fungi, and also we were tracked down, you see. We were being... I think it's more accurate to say I was being hunted by... Well, actually, I don't know who most of them were, but one of them was somebody who was very, very close to me, indeed. And, rather than confront this person, I fled. I told myself it was so I could finish the mission and help you, but... It was because I was afraid.
Oh, scared.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. Yes, I panicked.
Ah.
And as I so often do, I ran instead of trying to confront the root of the issue. And so I've come alone. If you're willing to wait for me to recharge my magics, then we can make a go of it tomorrow. I can't guarantee anything, except I'll do my best not to run this time.
Well, that would be appreciated. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of friendships and people myself, so I understand running away from people. They are weird, as are you. But it would be useful if, once you've rested yourself, if you could maybe get a bit more muscle. I think we might be struggling, but you have a rest. You look like you've had a tough day. She gives kind of a awkward pat on the shoulder, just like she doesn't really know how to do this sort of thing.
Dwayne perfumes the hand with his with his prestidigitation.
Yeah, you might want to sleep on that side of the dome. It's
yes,
it's the nicest. Yeah,
I can. This spell, I can just clean this whole thing. Really, oh. I've just
great.
Where did you try to bury it? Sorry, just pointed out. I can get rid of it all.
Please do. I mean, I've got used to the smell. You know, it kind of is a musk now. But yeah. If you,
yes. Okay, here we go.
Dwayne's just going to quickly sort of toddle around the room and toddle around the hut and sort of clean everything with prestidigitation to the point where, like, there's not some of the dirt that was on the ground is now gone. It's like, like
Dwayne and Enkidu should have hung out together more.
At which point, Dwayne, I think, is going to collapse to the ground and lean against the side of the dome and look up at Triff and say,
Triff, you said your entire team was consumed by plants. Well, consumed by the crack in the stone.
And the plants. It was a mess, you know.
How?
The plant itself, we were using, once the crack happened, the plant that we were working on, it started to grow, and that's when it started to, like, you know, take them in.
Yes. May I ask you a question? A personal question?
You may ask it. I don't know if I'll answer, but let's see.
Okay, that's fair. Did it bother you to see the people that you had worked with, people whom I presume you cared about, lose their lives because of a mistake you made?
Well, it was terribly inconvenient.
Yes.
Yeah. And if I make it out alive, I will send my condolences to the families. I think one of them was called Bob.
Oh, yes. So I take it you and Bob were not particularly close.
I'm not particularly close with people.
Yes, you said.
I like plants, and I talk to people when I need to, but maybe I'm not the best example of connection. Perhaps I could learn a thing or two from you. I mean, let's turn the question back on yourself. If they were your friends, would you have felt bad?
I think it would have haunted me for the rest of my life.
Well, that sounds incredibly distracting.
Yes. I suppose you might say disruptive to all future engagements, relationships, ventures, sleeping, eating, having peace of mind. Yes. Very, very disruptive, distracting indeed.
And if I were coming to you as a friend, she does in air quotes, and I said that I was having these problems, would you give me advice?
Well, if you were interested in advice, of course, then I would.
What would you tell me to do?
Well, I think I would tell you to stop running and do whatever you had to do to make it right. Yes, whether that was, of course, if they're dead, you can't do anything for them anymore.
Nope. Unless they were, like, coming back from the grave or something. That'd be a lot to deal with, wouldn't it?
Yes. They had a family member who looked shockingly exactly like them, and you could go speak to that individual. Perhaps even had the exact same name. Just a cousin was uncomfortably similar. Mm. Perhaps you could go and speak to the cousin and try and give the family whatever peace they could have gotten. Tell them that their death was a tragedy and that you're sorry that you couldn't have done more to have tried to help them, and you're sorry that you made the mistake. You didn't realize you weren't trying to do anything wrong. You were just trying to, you were just trying to survive, like all of us out here. And you never meant to put them in that situation. And you never, you certainly never meant for them to, well, for them, for what happened to have happened. And you, you don't think you can make it up to them.
Well, yeah, sometimes experiments work, sometimes they fail, but if you don't try them all out, then how will you have conclusive results? So, sounds to me like you've experimented with running away. Sounds like it's time to try a different route, maybe listen to your own advice.
You know, Triff, I think you're a little better with people than you give yourself credit for.
Oh God, really?
Yes, it's one of those hidden talents. Take it from someone who knows how to talk to people. I think you have a way with words.
Oh, well, there we go. That's what sitting in a hut by yourself will do to you. You talk to a person who just walks in and... yeah, I did that. Go me.
Do you enjoy music, Triff?
Do you know what? I do. I like to play music to my plants. I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's correct, but I believe that it does help them grow a little bit better. So I do like music for that purpose.
Hmm. Yes, music to help us grow. That sounds very nice. Why don't I provide us with some growth music?
And Dwayne's just gonna pull out his hurdy-gurdy and start playing a mournful, soothing tune on it. And I think he's pretty much done talking for the evening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, music to help us grow. That's definitely the episode title now. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a lovely interaction.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. We are thrilled to have just hit 1,000 followers on Twitter. To mark this auspicious occasion, we are doing a giveaway. So if you want to win yourself a copy of Monsters of the Multiverse on D&D Beyond, head over to Twitter. If you're not already following us, this is the perfect time to do it. We are at No Small Roles, that's role spelled R-O-L-L-S. Get yourself onto our Twitter page and retweet the original post about the giveaway. One winner will be drawn at random on Sunday the 19th of June at 6 p.m. BST. Best of luck to you all. Regular listeners of No Small Roles will know that summer is always a particularly busy time for the cast. We currently have me in Moulin Rouge, Ben in Dragons and Mythical Beasts, Vicky in Alice and Arialand, and next up, well, we have Double Trouble. Daryl and Vicky in The Comedy of Errors, touring Fuller's Pubs around the UK. Yes, the wonderful Open Bar Theatre Company have two smashing plays on the road again this summer, both with costume by me and music by the one and only David Knight. So if you love a bit of raucous Shakespeare with a pint in hand, go and check out Open Bar Theatre Company's Shakespeare in the Garden. But I'm not stopping with the show shoutouts just yet. On the 24th of June, a very special event is coming to Longfield Hall in the south of London to celebrate Pride Month. Love is Live, the Platinum Edition, is a show full of cabaret queer royalty. The lineup is epic. We have the legendary drag queen Lily Snatchdragon, the sensational Pie the Mime, who recently made a memorable appearance on Britain's Got Talent, bringing all their their non-binary finery, we have Rudy Javanji. Giving us comedy, we have the hilarious Emily Bampton and newcomer to the scene, Wings Chan. Even I will be making an appearance as my drag king alter ego, Lukewarm. This show is for one night only and not to be missed. You'll find information about these incredible productions in our show notes. And if you do come along, make sure you say hi. We love getting to meet listeners of the show in real life. Well, that is all from me for now. Let's get you back to the adventure.
So, yeah, as you, the two of you sort of sit in each other's company, just listening to this music, probably about 2 hours go by. Again, so you maybe have a little bit of small talk, share some food. When you're interrupted by the sound of commotion coming from outside of the dome. There's clattering of feet on stone. There are shouts from a couple of different voices. And panic. And then surprise. And then maybe a little bit more panic. As three figures sort of collide with the outside of the dome. Judge, Valerie, and Arthur are all...
Okay, here they come to ruin the mood.
I was like, who now? What's happening?
Chris pops up. Hello.
Three more people enter the Zoom chat.
Outside the dome, the plants are not being as nice to you guys as they were to Dwayne. And you are having to fight back. You have been battle scarred, like you're coughing all over the place where some of them have sprayed spores into your face. You're holding it back, luckily, but you are not in a good position right now.
These damn plants, I will cut every last one of them. What they did to
me. Die, you whiny spores!
Took my friend!
Took three of my friends!
Triff, I know these people. These are the people I know. That Triff let them in.
Triff. Are you sure? It sounds scary.
Yes, I know them.
God, die.
Damn plants.
Okay, come in. I'll shoot you with fire.
I'll cut you with an axe.
Hell, inside the dome. It's
you. You bastard. You left Tarnak to die. Tarnak is... he's coming after Dwayne.
Triffany gets ready with, like, some sort of, like, fiery thing. You know, one of those spells that wizards do.
Yeah. Valerie stands there like, I'm never in this position where I don't know who to find.
Yeah. There's a bit of like a weird showdown where like on each side of this dome, you've got Triff there with some fire. Dwayne just shocked the fact that Arthur is once again stood in front of him. Arthur looks like probably the worst you've seen him, Dwayne. He looks haggard. He looks covered in mud. And normally when he's been haunting you, he's been very pristine. But now he just looks like a normal person. Valerie is ready there. Judge has got shooting daggers at you, Dwayne. Confused by the fire-wielding elf in the corner. What are you all doing?
Those vines have got to die soon!
I think Dwayne was initially, like, scared of Judge when he comes running in, weapon drawn. But as soon as he sees Art standing there, looking alive, I mean, just based on this, like he looks like he's actually been physically interacting with stuff. Like it's not the ghostly apparition I think that Dwayne has kind of been used to. I think Dwayne is just like taken with this because it's, of course, he's scared of Art in general, but like now it's like, whoa. And it's like, I think the feeling that Dwayne has is of being taken back to when Art actually was alive. And I think he looks at Art and he says,
oh, my dear, you're filthy. Wait, let me...
And starts to reach forward and cast Prestidigitation to try and clean Art off a little bit. And then realizes, like, what he's doing. He says, hello?
Judge by this time has grabbed Dwayne by the front of his shirt and just shoved him up against the wall. And like, what the hell do you think you're pulling? Tarnak is dead, damn it.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Judge. Look, I'm a coward. I was scared of, well, you see that this fellow standing there. That's my ex-husband?
Damn,
just kind of looking at Art.
Are we still?
You're done! He just lets him go. And he doesn't know what to do with himself. He's like, so much is happening right now.
I'm so sorry, Judge. I know what it's like to lose someone close to you. It's never easy. If there's anything I can do to help, whether we can recover the body together. Look, I know people who might be capable of resurrecting your friend.
Resurrect? I need to find him first. I've been searching for hours. I haven't seen a single... And he just sits down. He's a mess. Like, he's... Tarnak was my only friend. My only friend. I only had to keep him safe, and I couldn't... What are you? Is this what you do? You flip from person to person? You leave them, you hurt them, you use them, you... You're a curse! You're a curse! That's what you are! Damn it! And he's just head in his hands, just frustrated.
Listen, friend, in this scenario, what you must understand is this is not your fault. It's his! And she points a meaty finger at Dwayne.
Yeah.
Don't blame yourself, Judge. Don't blame yourself. Blame him. Ah, jolly good.
She's right.
Yes.
I do blame you. Now, I know we're in a situation right now. And I know these plants are killing people everywhere, left, right, and center. And they killed Tarnak. And we need to solve this first.
We kill all the plants!
Yeah, she sounds crazy, but she's right. We killed the damn plants. We gotta find Tarnak next. I just...
hello, Professor Triphany Frid has kind of, she's kind of got herself away from everybody as much as possible, but she's kind of seeing people calm down a bit, and maybe this is the time to talk. So, hello, I am Professor Triphany Frid. I might be able to help with the plant situation. Cut it off at the source. Maybe slightly involved with how this has all happened, but I do have a plan in mind. But what I really need is people like all of you that have muscle who can fight off these plants, kill these plants while I do the ritual. If any of you are.
I'll do that. Yes. Great. Definitely me.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. Yes. You look like you're ready to fight those plants. Yep.
I wanted just to put an end to this. So, damn it. Yes. All right.
Oh, okay.
An end to the plants and an end to the dragons.
You're very loud. Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Just tell us what to do.
I believe your friend, she does air quotes once again, pointing at Dwayne here, who needs to rest a little bit. I don't know if you do too, but I could do with you all being firing on all cylinders to be able to complete my plan. Okay, so if you need a little rest, take yourself a little seat, try and calm down. I prefer a more relaxed atmosphere. Oh, inside voices, that'd be great.
I'll try my best.
Dwayne's going to stand up, I think, and say, no, I think we shouldn't drag this out any longer. Let's get rid of the curse.
Sooner the better. Let's do this now.
Yes.
Okay. If you're ready then, what we will need to do is we will need to get to the source of where all these plants are getting all their extra powers and what have you. It's a crack in a stone not too far from here. We are going to need to get up to within 5 feet of it for me to be able to start the ritual. Now, I am going to be putting as much of my own personal power and resources into it. If any of you are magically inclined, it would be fantastic if you could also send some of your powers that way. But we're probably going to be having to fight off the plants at the same time, so whatever your skills are, that'd be great if you could do that. It is gonna be a lot of resources though, so
fine, just so long as I can
I can hit something.
Oh, I'm with you there, Judge. Not a stitch of magic in me, but I'll fight.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. That's exactly the spirit I need.
as a point, as you're looking at the three that have just stumbled in, Triphony, Valerie, Judge, and Arthur are all hurt. They are. You're not at full capacity, we'll say. So,
I mean, I'm healthy.
Well, rolling some dice in the fight to get here.
Right, okay.
Val, you've lost 19 hit points, and Judge, you've lost 15.
Okay, never mind. I'm all right, though.
Just, you know, it's not necessarily enough to take you out, but enough that, you know, it'd hurt you if you don't rest, I'll say.
Who seems to be the most hurt?
I'm cool. I could probably help out if I'm in the mood.
Because Dwayne can help with healing if anybody needs it.
I can't. I gave all my healing to you. So, how about that?
Maybe we should just have a little snooze.
Yeah, I think you all look absolutely rubbish right now. You look like you need a rest. So I'm going to have to enforce that, actually.
Right.
I suggest you go for a rest. And she uses suggestion.
Whoa.
Amazing. What do they need to make? Is it wisdom saves or?
Did you just say you cast suggestion?
Yeah.
Oh,
amazing.
Dang.
Amazing.
She doesn't really know how to persuade people how to do things, so it's all she can really.
Yeah, it's a wisdom save.
Thank you.
Is that a charm?
I think it is.
If it's charm, it doesn't work on Judge. But Vicky and Jeremy get a +3 from me.
I don't know. When you can't be charmed as a berserker, I don't know if I've hit that level.
I'm a drow. I can't be charmed.
Yes, creatures that can't be charmed are immune to the effect. So,
brilliant.
Dwayne, I think, is just going to choose to fail.
Great.
Yeah, I think Valerie's up for a rest. She don't want to die.
Yeah, Judge likes the idea of resting, but he will like give Triff a look to say, as if like, I know what he just did, but I'm just letting it slide. As he unsheathes the fourth commandment and just sticks it in the ground, and then he just sits, arms folded, and leans against it.
And she just mutters under her breath, "This is why I don't do people."
Dwayne will sit, sort of like lean back against the dome and say, "I suppose the curse can wait a bit longer." And then just sort of stare up at the ceiling.
And the entire time, Art is just stood on the opposite side of the dome, staring at you, Dwayne. Absolute daggers. Not saying a word, just waiting.
I think once Dwayne realizes that, he's going to turn, look at Art and say, "Would you like to talk now?
Why did you leave me?" "Because I was afraid. That's why I do everything. I do everything because I'm afraid. I was afraid of what your family would think of me. I was afraid of those elves. I was afraid of the look in your eyes when you realize I'd caught you with my slow breath. I was afraid of whether or not I'd meant to do it. I thought it was an accident, but I was afraid that perhaps I, in a moment of panic, I had deliberately tried to slow you down. I was afraid of what would happen if I stayed. And then when you came back, I was afraid of what would happen if you caught up to me. I've been afraid my whole life."
He starts to walk slowly across the dome toward you. And when he's inches away from you, just says, "It wasn't so hard to admit, was it?"
I think Dwayne, as Art was crossing to him, kind of sat up into like a half kneeling position. One hand, I think his right hand just kind of like dangling limply at his side, and his left hand sitting kind of is resting on like the side of his knee, absolutely like white knuckled clenched with like his fingernails digging into his palm. And I think like his whole, that whole arm is just so tense. And that whole side, I think even that side of his body is so tense. And the other side of his body has completely limp. And he just looks up at Art and he says, I suppose the answer is yes and no. In some ways, it was the easiest thing in the world. And in other ways, it felt like... it felt like destroying who I am. Who I've tried to be. You know, Art, I've been able to make anyone believe whatever I wanted. For so long. Including myself. It can be difficult sometimes to be forced to peel back the lies and look at yourself for who you truly are. But that's who I am. I'm a coward. And I think he'll look up and, for the first time in this whole conversation, possibly since Art's death, he'll look up and make full eye contact with Art, and he'll say, I'm sorry. Whatever you choose, whatever retribution, I submit.
He leans even closer towards you. And just kisses you on the forehead. And places a hand on your cheek. Squeezes it just a little bit. Says, if you ever lie to someone you love again, you'll see me once more. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good. And he vanishes.
I think Dwayne just fully collapses to the ground, and starts, I think it's like, it starts as like an all fours kind of collapse and then just transitions pretty quickly to a full like limp on the ground, heaving and sobbing.
Hey, what happened? Hey, are you okay? Hey, he's collapsed. Hey, help.
What happened?
I'm just gonna look him over. Hey, get yourself together, man. What happened?
I think Dwayne, as people are like picking him up, is going, as Judge like lifts him up, is just gonna grab Judge in a tight little hug, like his, as far as his arms will go around Judge's body, and then just sob into Judge's armor.
Oh my gosh,
where'd that other guy go?
Oh man. Okay, buddy, okay. You, whatever it is you've got welling up inside you, you let that all out. You understand? You let it all out right now. Damn it.
Judge is crying too.
Oh, keep it inside you and use it for the fight!
Judge is crying too, like, it could do to have some quiet right now.
We just hold each other and cry.
Oh. It's grown ass man tears.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think as he's crying without realizing it, Dwayne is going to start transforming back into a dragon, as if like by letting go of all of this, it's just like he lets go of the halfling form. So as you guys are crying and embracing, you're just suddenly like holding something that's much larger now.
Oh my!
He's the dragon!
He's a dragon! Yeah! Damn it!
Valerie, oh, like, wields her. What's she got with her? Weapon. Her battle axe.
Judge swings around at her scream and tries to meet the attack.
Ah, but he's a dragon.
Yeah, but his. He's kind of my friend, so I can't let you kill him.
But he's a dragon!
I have no idea what's going on. So what if he's a dragon as my friend?
I have sworn an oath to kill all dragons.
Yeah, but you know this guy. He's different. He's not... Why do you need to get off? And I tried to, like, back her up.
How's this affecting the hut?
It is getting incredibly tight.
Yeah, it's so...
okay, okay. Like, as it's getting pushed up...
This is what happens when you let dragons in.
You can't just
murder this guy.
We need his strength. We can't just kill him when these murderous plants are killing everyone. We need someone as strong and as big as this guy to kill all the plants.
Fine, but when we kill the plants, I'm killing him.
No deal.
Deal?
No deal. No, that's a terrible deal.
That doesn't sound like a good plan.
No, it's not a good deal.
No, this is getting very tight in here. This is not much room.
Okay.
Everybody calm down.
Judge is being squeezed against the side of the room. Okay, I'm glad you opened up to us, but you're killing us.
I'll shrink a bit.
He holds up kind of a scaly hand as he's kind of like in a half halfling, half dragon form right now, and he says, he's gonna look at Valerie and say,
I have no quarrel with you, but clearly you have a quarrel with me, so if you would please be willing to set aside your oath for just the time being, I'm sure we could come to some sort of an understanding after we avenge your sailors, troops, crew.
Well, I mean, they died. It's quite upsetting, but it doesn't bother me that much.
Right. After we stop the plants from consuming this entire land.
Yeah, I just don't want to die.
After we prevent that, then we can... We'll have a talk.
Then
how's
we'll
that?
Renegotiate, shall we?
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I'm really having a moment right now. I don't know if that's clear.
she sort of very awkwardly puts her battle axe sort of back on her back and sort of awkwardly, yes, and frumpily just sort of steps away and is like, I think I understand. I'll leave you be for now.
Seeing that she's put away her axe, Dwayne puts away his scales and wings essentially and shrinks back into a halfling.
Okay, that explains so much.
Yes.
Oh, and I should describe, because I don't think we've described Dwayne's dragon form, have we?
No. It's always just been blue blur and wings, but yeah.
So, yeah, he's got like bright blue scales that are the same color as his facial hair, and his bright, shiny copper underbelly. It looks like he's a hybrid. Of like anyone who would know dragons would know that it's not common for a dragon to have both a chromatic color and a metallic color. So it likely would indicate like mixed parentage between different kinds of dragons.
Ooh.
And actually the copper is a similar shade to Dwayne's actual skin.
Pretty.
Beautiful dragon. I want to see it in real life.
Oh, I think Dwayne is actually going to look then at everyone else and say, I have a bit more of a confession to make.
Of course there's more. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see if I can keep up.
I'm not actually named Dwayne. I'm called Dwayne, but it's not really my birth name. My name is Dontavian. So, you know, that's me.
Dontavian.
Yes. Dontavian, yes.
You know what? When Tarnak and I first met you, he whispered to me that he knew you were lying. He knew that you fell from the sky. He knew something about you wasn't right, but he trusted you anyway. And here we are. So, with all your stuff going on, and whatever trauma you've managed to pull yourself through, it's nice to finally meet you, Dontavian. And Judge will hold out his hand.
Dwayne will shake however many fingers he can fit in his hand, and say, it's nice to meet you too, Judge.
Hmm.
And I'm a woman of honor, so I promise I won't kill you until we renegotiate.
Oh, thank you. Dwayne reaches with his other hand to shake as he's shaking Judge's hand. He tries to shake as many of Valerie's fingers as he can.
Okay. Shall we have... Let's sit back down a bit and try this again. Just catch our breath.
And please, please get some rest. You all look so, so bad.
Yes.
So bad.
Thanks.
Would we like some more music? I could simply keep playing that song I was playing before.
Just music. No more talking.
Yes.
Everybody chill out, okay?
Okay. Here we go. Dwight's going to pull out his hurdy-gurdy and continue playing the song, the growth music that he was playing earlier.
No.
So, yeah, once again, having settled down, a good 8 hours passed. You all have, again, small chit-chat. You prepare yourselves, sort of prepare anything that you need for your spells. Judge, you spend a little bit of time sort of with your sword, practicing with the fourth commandment, practicing I don't know anything about swords. Maneuvers?
I can do some movements. I can probably...
Move some movements.
Try to,
there's just about enough space.
Try to commune with it because the sword is still a mystery. All that stuff.
Yeah. Valerie, how are you keeping yourself entertained during this?
I think she's just like sitting, muttering, maybe doing a few press-ups, having a look at Dwayne. And just sort of keeping herself to herself. And when she falls asleep, she snores.
Yeah.
Oh, and she sort of has a moment with, like, where she sort of looks at her tattoo and is like, and looks a bit like internally at odds with herself.
So, you all basically have a long rest. So you can mark that on your sheets. As you all begin preparing, getting ready for what's about to happen, Triff talks you through the ritual. Now, in mechanical terms, for your awareness, what you realize is, as she's pointing out different like formula and stuff in her notebooks, and little arcane markings and things, that mechanically how it's going to work is that once she has started the ritual, anybody will be able to contribute magical energy. But what that means is that you essentially need to pump 25 levels worth of spell slots into this ritual.
So if you don't have spell slots, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Cool.
Oh my gosh.
But anybody with spell slots will be able to contribute to the ritual just by like putting in 25 levels worth of spell slots into
as a group, not
as a group. Yeah,
good, because I don't have that many.
Triff has to start the ritual off, but then once it's going, anybody can contribute. And even if Triff were to fall, the way she has set it up is that the rest of you could still have a chance to succeed.
Hmm.
And that's kind of what you get from her explanation.
Okay.
Well, good luck with that, you three.
Yes.
Well, you're a part of this too. Why don't you guard us?
I'll fight my bloomers off.
Fine.
Can't pump any magic in, I'm afraid.
That's absolutely fine. We just need... if you can fight all those plants off, keep us...
That I can do. That
yeah.
I can do.
We need to get really close to the stone, though. So we'll might need to fight our way through to get there.
Am I fighting the plants or the stone?
The plants.
Okay.
If we need to get in close, I might be able to teleport us there. Just you and I, Triff. If you wish, I have a spell, a dimension door.
Right.
I could teleport us to the stone, but only one other person could come with me, so...
David, how far away are we from the stone?
Oh, probably about 50 feet or so. Actually, from the dome... you can just about see into the main chamber of this space. And as you've waited 8 hours, it's now sort of daylight. And as you sort of, all of you gather at the edge of the dome and sort of peer through it, what you can see is a massive circle in this open cave of 9 large standing stones. All of them, again, covered in moss, covered in overgrowth. But at the top of this cavern, almost like an oculus in the ceiling, is an open space that's letting sunlight through, which gives you a good view of the entire thing. And for a sight of like natural beauty, it does take your breath away a little bit. But you can see, as Triff sort of points out, on the other side of the circle, one of the stones in particular has a massive crack running up the front of it. And all around that are quite thick roots and vines, much thicker than everywhere else. So it's very obvious which one it is that you're aiming for.
Hmm. Okay, well, as soon as I leave this dome, it will disappear. Perhaps if you can get us as close as possible, then the other two, you can be attacking any vines that come away around it.
But we won't be near you if you're teleported.
But
we won't be able to protect you.
Will you be able to catch up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or perhaps we move as a unit. I don't know. I'm not so experienced at the fighting anything, let alone
plants. Well, I would say if you want us to protect you, we should be by you protecting you, right?
No, we should stay outside to stop stuff coming in to get to them. Look, the two of us can post up outside.
Isn't the stuff coming out of the rock, though?
How about we begin our journey together, and then if things seem as though they might be quite desperate, I can teleport myself and the professor into the crack while the rest of you keep them off of us. Otherwise, we can simply travel together as a unit.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Because basically, as soon as I think I'll drop this hut, things could be coming at us from all directions, so...
Right.
All right.
Be ready.
All right, let's do it.
Dwayne's gonna draw his rapier in one hand, and then, like, sort of... And then, with still kind of holding it, put it on the handle of the hurdy-gurdy, which he's holding under his other arm, preparing to either start swinging or casting spells, whichever comes first.
And Triff is going to be ready to cast Mage Armor on herself as soon as she drops the heart.
Amazing.
I will be raging and frenzying as soon as the dome drops.
Judge is going to cast Bless on the three of you. And plus you get Aura of Protection anyway for any saves, but you all have Bless now.
Remind me what that does. Is that a...
Yeah, it's a D4. You add a D4. So you add a +3 on top of your normal stuff because of Aura of Protection, and then you roll a D4 for Bless.
Brilliant.
Okay, let's go fix that stone, shall we? I'll count us down. 3, 2, 1.
And that's where we're in the episode.
Delightful. Well done.
Yeah.
So much. Oh my God. Oh.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Jeremy Cobb as Dwayne Fabulosa, Daryl Bailey as Judge, Vicky Gaskin as Valerie, and Grace Kelly Miller as Trithony. Original music by David Knight, and this episode was edited by Pippa Beckford. If you enjoy No Small Roles, please consider rating and reviewing the show. Tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to the further adventures of Dwayne Fabulosa, presented by No Small Roles. And on for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.